One of the things that I remember well in life is holding my children for the first time. In the hospital, holding this vulnerable, dependent little thing, and something interesting, for all of those of you who are parents will know, something washes over you, which is very interesting. And that is a sense that you are now responsible to look after that little life. And you look at the child and you say, I need to make life good for this person. I need to protect them and look after them. I want everything to go well. And I remember thinking as I was holding my children that I would like to promise them that their life would go easy. I'd like to promise them that if they worked hard, they would always have a roof over their head and food on the table, and they would do well. That if they were kind to people and treated people with respect, they would never have enemies. They would never be abused. No one would ever treat them badly. I wanted to tell them that if they would kind of look after themselves, not eat at McDonald's too much, that they would be healthy, that they wouldn't have to worry about physical or mental struggles in their life. They would never know cancer or depression or anything else. Life would go well. I wanted to promise them that. And I wanted to say to them, you know, we've learned a lot in our life as people, and by the time you grow up, we'll have this environmental thing in hand. We're going to do this. We're going to straighten it up. And war, I think we're learning. We're not going to do that anymore. It's going to be okay. And I couldn't. Because we can't control those things. As we watched the news coming out of the Philippines, especially in the early days, we saw the children's crying and blank looks on the faces of many of the adults. And I wonder if they were thinking of the promises they had wanted to make that they couldn't keep because they couldn't control the typhoon. Or the people living in the refugee camps near Syria. Sometimes when I hear of abuse and neglect, I see parents who are so overwhelmed with life they can't parent. Or you hear stories of people like Rehtaeh Parsons, who was bullied until she just couldn't handle it anymore. Like Charles mentioned before, took her life. I can't help but think that there were people around them with very different dreams. And I read about the horrors of the residential schools, and sometimes we read that and we say, do we have to hear this again? But I think about that, and I think about those parents who had the children taken from their arms to scrub their language and culture and religion out of their lives. And I wonder what those parents felt with their empty arms. And we still feel the repercussions of that today. I can't promise anything. I still want to. I want to promise that things will go well. And I sometimes wonder, if I was smarter, like some of you, or if I had more money or was politically connected, could I? I can't. I still try that with my children. I still see them and I see their struggles and I think, how do I fix that? As a pastor, I do that in the church too. When I see things, I say, how do we fix that? And many of you have done the same. Those of you who are teachers or in the medical profession or in politics or whatever line you're in, you have an area where you see the hurt and you reach out and you say, I wish so badly I could make it right. I want to change that. God has wired us to do that, in case you're wondering. We want to get rid of poverty and racism, of bullying and bigotry. We want to stop dictatorial governments and global warming and make sure that everyone receives dignity and respect and an education, end physical disease and mental illness. Now, there are people working at many of these things. Bless their heart. And huge strides are making. Take a look at our medical field. It is wonderful. And we trust that we'll make huge strides in the area of bullying. But we still can't control it, can we? Eternity Sunday, Tautensonntag, is known in some churches as Christ the King Sunday. And today we hold together two seemingly opposite things. We hold together on the one hand, remembering those who have died. And on the other hand, we hold that Christ is King. That He is in charge. And that He works things the way that He intends to. And we go, how do you hold those together, God? Psalm 93 is a passage that helps us to pull that together, talking about God as the King. Very briefly, verse 1 and 2 talks about how God is solid. The psalmist talks about how God is unshakable. It talked about how the kings are dressed. Kings were known by the way that they dressed. We look at Psalm 8, when we look at creation and its beauty, and we are in awe of God. The book of Revelation tells us the story of how the God who is Lord of creation is also Lord of history and of eternity and of all things that happen. Before we become overwhelmed with life, we are invited to know this. God is up to the task of holding us in His hand. Verses 2 and 3 go on to talk about the tough times, and it uses the metaphor of the sea rolling, which was a metaphor used in ancient cosmology. They believed that the ocean was chaos, and there was mountains sticking out of it, and the land rested on those mountains. And so when they thought about chaos, it was if the earth crumbled into the sea, if the very worst thing happened. Psalm 46, which was part of the responsive reading that Jen led us in earlier, it does a beautiful job of painting this picture. It starts with the same statement. Even if the mountains fall into the sea, God is there. And it ends with that amazing verse, verse 11. Be still and know that I am God. The statement is not made after everything calms down. It's made in the midst of the chaos of our lives. God reaches out in the midst of the mayhem and He says, be still and know that I am God. God in the midst of the pain and chaos of life. We don't always see that. We see the blackness. This morning we have remembered those who have died in the past year. Some of you have gone through a very difficult time. And the promise is that God is there with us in the midst of that pain. That's the story of Good Friday. Not that God helps us to avoid it. Would that He did. But He walks with us through it. And there He is in the worst of our pain. There we find God. Even though it hurts, we have the confidence that God is there. That God is bigger than what we are going through. That death does not have the last word. We quoted from 1 Thessalonians 4 before. That we will meet again. Sometimes God helps us to know He is there through the people around us, by surrounding us with people who love us, and some of you are going to get huge hugs after the service. May you all. Sometimes it's through that still, small voice, the confirmation of the Spirit as we read through the Word. Sometimes it's through a miracle, God doing things that we just didn't think could happen. Turning things around. But there is God assuring us that He is there, that Christ is indeed King. Mark chapter 4. The disciples are out in the boat with Jesus. Jesus falls asleep. A storm comes up. Huge waves going over it. The disciples think they are finished. All they can think of is death. And they wake up Jesus and says, Jesus, Jesus, help us. And Jesus wakes up. Stops the storm and says, What's the deal? Didn't you know I was here? Didn't you know I was here? It's okay. The passage ends in verse 5, but talking about a confidence for the future. God is in charge. His holiness fills his house. His house is the universe, this place of worship, your home, your life, a reminder of God's presence. If it were up to me, I would cancel this whole sickness and death thing. I would say, God, let's start the new kingdom now. Let's be done with that already. God's way is to conquer death so that we walk through death to a life without pain or suffering or brokenness, the life we wish for now. It's there beyond the veil, as they say. Psalm 121 says God watches over our life. He's watching over our coming and going both now and forevermore. What does that say? It's a passage we hear at most funerals. God holds our hand in life. He never lets go. Not even through death. We have to let go. How hard that is. But God never does. That's the promise. God loves this broken, hurting world more than we can ever imagine. In fact, so much that he came to live with us and die for us. Like a caring parent, God wants things to be perfect for us as well. And he'll bring it about in his own way. Today, we are invited to celebrate that God has got the whole world in his hands. You, me, and all of those we care about. While we might not understand, God is there, holding us. May you feel his nearness in a special way today. Amen.